everybody, we're here to talk about Mission Impossible 73, Operation Fallout. the one where Tom Cruise uses the power of Scientology to defeat Superman.
Before
he can snap every neck in the planet. Yeah, and he defeats the power of the death itself, death and aging itself.
Mm-hmm.
The internet's losing its mind about this film. It's got 97% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Jim Jones, what you think of the movie?
That seems a little high. I enjoyed the movie, but 97%? Let's get real, people.
Yeah.
This movie wasn't that good.
Yeah.
It was a really good action movie.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest here, I had a lot of trouble following what was happening. And now it may be a symptom of me having not seen Mission Impossible in like four Mission Impossible movies. So in 18 years, I looked it up.
I only
2000 was the last time.
You saw three?
Number two. I never saw three, and I never saw four. Yeah.
Okay. So I only missed Rogue Nation, and I didn't realize I missed it until I went to this. Until I missed this movie, like, oh,
is that when
the
stuff with the main with one of the villains in this happened?
The Scottish terrorist, okay. And I think they introduced the female super spy in that one, or maybe the one before.
I'll see. Well,
I
was lost at the beginning, very lost, and they kind of clue you in if you haven't seen previous, but not really.
I didn't feel like I had trouble following the plot. In fact, there was like three different points in the movie where, because this is a big bamboozler. All right.
Yeah.
This movie goes for the rock'em sock'em, rope-a-dope every 15 minutes, and mm-hmm. I was well ahead of a few of the big ones. And I don't know if that was the problem. I guess this movie felt campy to me. Like it was almost a parody of the Mission Impossible format where they had people coming in and saying, well, this is stupid. Why does anyone ever fall for it? Like they were breaking the fourth wall and lampshading left and right. And it felt a little weird because, like, Mission Impossible's of recent years, I feel like I've gone more towards gritty realism where, like, Mission Impossible 2, that's the one I think that John Woo directed, is, I think, very campy.
Yeah.
It is, you know, got ridiculous action sequences and stuff. Every one of these action sequences were jaw-dropping and sick.
Uh-huh.
But much like Fast and Furious franchise, the connecting tissue felt pretty thin. Like, We thought of a bomb-ass stunt that we can do around Notre Dame with it in the background. Let's think of a reason why we should be in... Now let's go to Hungary. Now let's do... Like, I don't know. I was expecting to see high 60s on Rotten Tomatoes. So when I saw 97%, I just assumed Tom Cruise slit 1,000 junior Scientologists' throats and used their psychic energy to bamboozle the world's press with the power of his broken ribs and ankle.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page as far as it's not being, like, an amazing film, you know? Like, action set pieces, yes. Yes, all the way. It's they're some of the most amazing things I've seen
Maybe that should be enough, right?
It was for me, honestly. Like, I didn't come out of this movie going, man, I wish I hadn't seen that. I was a little confused by the plot because I didn't know the characters and their histories. But other than that, like, I was blown away by it.
Yeah, there's a couple, man, I don't, to talk specifically, I'd have to almost get into spoilers, but I'll put this out there. There was one scene that I've only seen the last Twilight movie try to get away with, where it's just like, and they did it two or three times. And
okay, that's
going
to
have
to be a tease for the spoiler section, because I really want to know which one you're talking about.
Like, I just don't know about that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's I didn't like the last James Bond either. So this was a better movie. At least this was fun, and the action scenes were really inventive, and it wasn't entirely, I guess, a grim affair. It had some humor. Like Simon Pegg's really funny. Ving Rhames, like the fact that, you know, he's been around since the very first Mission Impossible and looks like he's 30 years older than Tom Cruise now is kind of entertaining. And I have affection for the characters. I like Ethan Hunt. I like the fucking Mission Impossible theme. Mm-hmm. I just wish it was, man, and not even smart is the right word for it. It's just, it's like Fast and Furious. It's just an excuse to have a bunch of action scenes. I don't know why that's not enough for me anymore.
I'm always feeling a little off kilter. So, you know, to talk about my confusion a little bit, I'm in these kind of movies where I know going in, like, this movie is about tricking people.
Yeah.
And in the course of it, tricking the audience quite a few times, I never feel like I find my footing. Even when they do the final reveal, and they're like saying, okay, this is how it is, I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. Because I always think there's another shoe, because the movie has trained me to think that. And so I just never feel comfortable in these movies. So the only thing I really have to latch onto is the action stuff.
So I'll even say, because here's why I think the action scenes are a little disappointing. I'll just give you one random example. Mm-hmm. I'll probably give six more in the spoiler section. Tom Cruise in a car chase does this trick three times, where he just floors it into an intersection that's just like crisscrossing with traffic. Mm-hmm. He finds the perfect window, and he doesn't even like steer for it. It just he just guns it and goes through it. And like if you are in a car and you see Tom Cruise fly through an intersection of BMW, you slam on the fucking brakes because there's about to be a wall of Swiss police or Hungarian police or Vienna police, and you are going to die. Yep. You are going to die in droves to be the blockade for Tom Cruise. He does like three times in one thing, and I guess that's where like the Bourne Identity never did that. Like in the first one, it's like, you know, he's driving this little rabbit, this Volkswagen rabbit, just revving the nuts off of it. But like he never. They would never. Jason Bourne let himself get cornered, because if you get cornered, you're screwed. Whereas Tom Cruise, it's like, three different times in three different situations, he comes to a part where he looks this hallway, nothing but goons. This hallway, nothing but goons. This hallway, nothing but goons. This other, okay, all four cardinal directions have been covered, nothing but goons. He keeps doing a 360 as the camera. There's a fifth passage, goon-free.
Yeah.
Like, just don't, like...
The goons always just miss that one passage.
Just if you got to get to the part where the only way Tom Cruise can win is just blindly drive through traffic, don't do that. Especially don't do it three times in one car chase.
I'm with you. Those moments started to feel silly.
Right. So like I said, I got other examples, but that's where it's like even the stunt scenes, to make them even bigger and more ridiculous, like the illogical outcome should be a Blues Brothers crash. But they just move on. They you have three separate Blues Brothers crashes in one thing. It's just like sometimes maybe the stunt should be a little bit smaller and more intimate with actual stakes where like these people could actually get hurt or... I don't know. That's my as non spoilers I want to get review of Mission Impossible.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a ton more to say about it. If you really like action movies, I would say definitely go see this.
Yeah. It's the state of the art for and you know, or as many, like, I know there's some people to give Tom Cruise shit for this because, you know, he's essentially taken jobs from stuntmen, but there is something really visceral seeing Tom Cruise's face hanging off the side of a mountain, and no, like, yeah, there's safety cables and all that stuff, but there's very little green screen. He's actually doing a lot of this stuff, and he's 57 years old.
Yeah. God.
Someone posted this incredible fact that I verified.
Okay.
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah. I saw this.
Was older in the movie Cocoon, where he's playing a grandpa in like a Florida retirement home.
No, he's younger.
Younger. He's actually younger in Cocoon playing a grandpa in a retirement home than Tom Cruise is swinging from skyscrapers and helicopters and glaciers and shit.
Yeah. No, it's insane. I mean, we talk about this every time we watch a Tom Cruise movie, but God damn it, he just does not look anywhere near his age.
And he doesn't even have like the Hollywood thing where like he looks like he's Botoxed an inch of his life. He just looks like he sleeps in a age retarding coffin.
He either does that or he has the world's best plastic surgeon. I mean, maybe there's something you could do to Tom Cruise's face make him look that good at that age.
Yeah.
With plastic magic. I don't know, but it's incredible.
Or Scientology is real, and we're just all we're just persecuting the actual witches that live in our world. I don't know.
Give it 8 more years.
Yeah.
And if Tom Cruise still looks as good as he does now,
I might be in a cult on Scientology. Pack? Yeah. If he's
2025. Let's go to 2025.
Okay. So he'll be like 65.
If Tom
Cruise can start withdrawing from a Social Security account without penalty
and still looks
and
like
he's
he
still
does
doing
today.
This, then I'm going to pop in. I'm gonna, you know, I'll have my email. I'll, I'll have my thetan level tested. I'll hook up to an email. I'll just stick my toe in the water. Because what the hell? At some point, you got to say it's science now, right?
No, it's crazy.
Jesus Christ. Let's talk about trailers, eh?
Okay, so I have a weird trailer situation. I go to this theater when I don't have to be down at the office before I see a movie, because we saw it over the weekend. I go to a different theater where they serve like food at your seats and stuff, and they give you menus and you can order all that stuff. And they started playing the trailers while everyone was just ordering the food, and the lights were full bright.
So
I was just sitting there, you know, looking at the menu. Maria Menounos saying, "Oh, first look, whatever." I just showed you a bunch of movies you don't care about.
Right. This is for ABC Family. The Harry Potter, the Endless Summer 6.
So somewhere in the middle of these trailers, I realized, holy shit, they're actually just showing the real trailers right now, and I'm missing them. So I missed like half the trailers.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you the names of most or the plots of most of the trailers, but I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
Speaking of people who don't age, or people who maybe have already aged past their ripened state. The Spy Who Dumped Me. It's a Mia Kunis, Kate McKinnon, comedy spy thriller.
I've seen the poster, and Kate McKinnon's in it. I'm in.
Yeah. She seems to be doing the Kate McKinnon thing.
Okay.
Like, she is Kate McKinnon in this, which is fine, because that's funny.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen her. I think I've ever seen Kate McKinnon. I've seen the 37 characters she plays, but I don't think I've even seen an interview of her just like being a human being.
What she does, she's doing more of it in this movie.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know who she is deep down as a human being.
Okay.
I don't know. This movie looks sort of funny.
Okay.
But whatever.
There's an interesting, because I watched 2 weekends ago, my wife and I and my son got a wild hair. We just want to watch Fantastic Mr. Fox. And I'm like, hey, we actually have that Blu-ray. I dug it out of like where our unpacked Blu-rays were down in the basement. And it's a Blu-ray, so it's got these commercials for movies from like 10 years ago, 2008. And there's this one that was... oh my God, I just forgot that I suck at the celebrity names. It's the girl from 30 Rock, Tina Fey, and the guy from The Office.
Which, Michael Scott.
Michael Scott, yes.
It is him?
Yes, it's Michael Scott.
Steve Carell.
And they're in like, you know, they're just a couple, and like, you know, they get caught up in this spy situation. And like, they make that movie every 10 years or so.
Right. Right. They did it with Bill Murray way back in the day, too.
Right. And like, Mr. and Mrs. Smith is kind of that, except for they're both spies. And and like, it looks entertaining. I don't know why I don't see more of them.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't know why. Like, I feel like I don't watch just like regular mainstream comedies anymore. I'm sure that I enjoy them, but it's always got to be some kind of weirdo, weird hook. Like, it's got to be Fred Armisand doing reenactments of old documentaries before.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
Yeah, I feel like
it's like I reached the stage of comedy masturbation where I got to have a little autoerotic asphyxiation in it. There's got to be some danger. There's got to be some weirdness. There's got to be points where I'm uncomfortable and confused.
Yeah, no, it's that thing about, you know, watching and talking about television and film for so long.
Yeah.
You just start to want something new.
Right. I also think that like that was like the majority of my life, like PG-13 comedies growing up, to where like now I just it's like I was forced to eat vanilla ice cream.
A lot of blue streaks.
Rocky Road and I ain't going back. Going back to vanilla. Fuck your French vanilla and your bean and your golden cream or whatever it is. Okay, Spy Who Shagged Me.
Spy Who Dumped Me.
There we go.
Yeah. I got a new trailer for Venom, which...
Fuck that.
I know you hate talking about
it.
And then some movie whose plot I couldn't tell you. I think Mark Wahlberg's trying to sneak somebody out of the country or something. Mild 22.
Okay. It's just a mild.
Mile.
Oh,
did
mild
I say
22.
Mild? I might have said mild.
It's mild. It's like, you know.
I don't know what that's about.
I had three trailers I've never seen before. One is Operation Finale, which is seemed to be a high budget... Oscar Isaac is in it. Ben Kingsley is in it. Ben Kingsley is starring as this SS officer, Adolf Eichmann, who fled to like Venezuela or one of those countries in the 60s. And I guess some Mossad agents extracted him and they put him on trial. And this is like the story of the Mossad agent who tracks him down and like, you know, interrogates him. And he's got this... the whole trailer looks like it's this Nazi telling this Jew spy, like, these paper-thin excuses for why he can't be judged by human morality, and it's like fucking with the Jewish guy. I'm like, Ben Kingsley says, oh, you say I'm responsible for the death of 6 million, and yet it's justice to kill one man. I'm like, no, but it's a good start. Click, clack, blow. Like, how? How can this sneering Nazi telling you these obviously facile moral quandaries have? He's like, he's not fucking Magneto.
No, he's Ben Kingsley. That's what you hire Ben Kingsley to do. Like, this is Ben Kingsley in every role I've seen him in.
I think this is Ben Kingsley's Waterloo, not the movie about Napoleon where he was at. No, this is like you can't make this Nazi SS officer who architected the Holocaust palatable, man.
He's just pushing his luck. He's seeing how far he can go.
I mean, maybe the movies, but like the whole trailer, I'm like, every time they cut the Kingsley saying, you know, like, how many Jews can even fit into a boxcar? Have you really thought? Like, click, clack, blow. Get this guy out of here.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe it'll sweep the Oscars and I'll look like an idiot. Overlord. So, this is cool. This stars the kid who played Michael in season 2 of The Leftovers.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a D-Day. Like, it looks just like your standard Band of Brothers, Saving Private Ryan, like, crazy shit, guys getting shot out of airplanes.
Until Ben Kingsley shows up.
Until Ben Kingsley
talks him into joining the SS.
To explain how the Holocaust wasn't that big of a deal, guys. If you just, you know, he's come sip some pina coladas with me in Venezuela, I'll explain the whole thing.
Yeah, Skin Killer has nothing to do with it. It's all about your religion.
And I'm like, this is kind of cool because, like, I've never seen, like, a paratrooper, like, free-falling through, like, flak and, like, you know, what it would be like to, like, God. Just, like, I'm helpless. I'm descending at a slow pace, and there's just metal shrapnel being... And it looked like really sick. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And it's also like this black guy, and he's like in a mostly white unit and like, you know, whole fighting for his country, but his country kind of hates him. And I'm like, and then out of the middle of nowhere, fucking aliens and zombies started showing up.
Okay.
And it turns into like one of those Nazis like are experimenting.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies kind of thing.
Yeah, Nazis are experimenting with forces darker than Ben Kingsley kind of. Or Ben Kingsley. And I'm like, okay, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. Especially right on the heels of Operation Finale.
Do they just kind of play that as the end of the trailer? Like, yeah, and aliens,
right,
and then it ends?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, that interdimensional cable thing. It's like, you know, this brother jumping into Normandy, and then there's aliens and zombies, and then things get really intense. Like, it's like fast. But it looks really cool and very special effecty and neat like that. Doesn't ask me to consider the logic of a sneering Nazi. Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah. Well, we saw this. Okay.
So this is just nakedly Transformers for girls.
I mean, this is Bumblebee, a Transformers story, right? Like, this is what they did with Han Solo, except in the Transformers universe.
But, like, Bumblebee's, like, he's cuddling this girl, it's very, there's, like, I mean, I realize...
I guess it's Transformers for girls. I don't know. I didn't put that together,
I should say it's not a stereotypically masculine take on Transformers.
Sure.
Because I just realized it sounds sexist as hell to be, like, just it's Transformers for girls. But I think it's neat. You know, it's like, you know, Bumblebee can be your best friend, too, little girl. And I also like to return to his, like, more classic vintage Bumblebee looks. Yeah. Like, you know.
The one that Ben Kingsley could ride around in.
right. I think it's... I don't think... I mean, I've been out on the Transformers movies for a long, long time.
Yeah, fuck those movies.
Like, I don't even think I've sat through all of the second one. But yeah.
But maybe there will be a little less transforming, a little less action in this one.
If you're a Gen Xer with, like, a 9-year-old daughter... and like an 11-year-old son who kind of needs to see that there's other sides of the world. Yeah, go take him to see Bumblebee. It'll probably look like it's a good family time. Plus, like, is it a Michael Bay joint? I wanted to see. I should have looked it up because maybe that's a reason to stay home. I don't know. And that's the trailers, which means if you're not a club member, this is where we part ways. Because our spoiler reviews of the first run movies are reserved exclusively for our club members. You can go to club.baldmove.com to see samples of all the different bonus features you get, like our first run movies. And you can try the club for free for your first 30 days. Club.baldmove.com.